Well, simple word this morning, but a powerful word if we gain everything that Jesus wants us to gain from it. So that's my prayer is that we will be inspired by the Lord this morning to get to know him even more. Psalm 71. I'm just going to read the first three verses and then pull out the particular comment that I want to kind of major on this morning. Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You've given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. The translation that I want us to have a look at this morning is a different one to this one, and it's from verse 3 of those few verses, which says, be my strong habitation to which I continually resort. Be my strong habitation to which I continually resort. The word refuge is easily understood in our day. Habitation perhaps isn't so much, but we know that a habitation is a dwelling place or a home. A refuge is a safe place, a place to go when you're in trouble or got problems. And David, the king, he had lived in many different places. As a shepherd, he was probably out in the fields and spent some time in the open. I don't know what help he had out there, but he definitely had the Lord with him. But David also lived in a palace. He was a king, and he knew the wealth, the riches of a home that actually was abundant in the natural, naturally speaking. But David also knew what it was to live in rocks and in caves. You remember he used to run from his enemy, really, and he would end up in a cave or in a rock in hiding. And so David understood there are many places that I have lived, and they've all been very different. I mean, I've lived in many places. I've lived in a different country, a couple of countries. I've lived in many different homes, other people's homes, and I have the blessing now in living in my own home. But David was this broad view of where he could live. He's lived in loads of situations. And he said in verse 3, Lord, I want you to be my strong habitation, my dwelling place, my home to which I continually resort. And if we were to sort of straight away get a glimpse into David's heart, this is an intimate, a very personal prayer that David is saying to God. I mean, it couldn't be more personal. It couldn't be more from his heart. Lord, I want you to be the place I live in. What an amazing prayer. I want you to be the place I live in. I don't just want a nice home, naturally speaking. I want to live in you. So David had this passionate, I could say, heart speaking to God. I want to live in your presence, Lord. I want to live with you and in you. Yes, he said words like, and we all know Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live, dwell in the house of the Lord. So he knew it was wonderful. It was one of his prayers. I will live in the house of the Lord. But he said, I don't just want to live in your house. I want to live in you. I want to live in you. Didn't Jesus say, abide in me as I abide in you? We know that Jesus has come to make his home in us as believers. He dwells, his very spirit, his presence, God himself, dwells in the heart of all who believe. But David was praying, I don't just want you living in me. I want to live in you. Now that is an unusual but a wonderful prayer to pray, and I'm sure God liked it. I'm sure the Lord was totally blessed by that. When David prayed that, he'd be going like, somebody really likes me. They really want me. Rather than, I want to be with you, they're saying, I want to be with you and I want to live in you. I want to dwell in your house, but be my house too, Lord. That's another thing, isn't it? Be my house too. Surrounded by God, living in God is what I want. And it is a desire that God will answer. It's amazing how the Lord works with our desires, our prayers. If you kind of don't pray this kind of prayer, you don't kind of see the manifestation of what it means to live in God. But if you do pray like this, God is drawn to manifest himself to those people who say, I want to live in you. Live out my life in you. And the Lord responds, I believe, to come in a very unique way. Not just in theory, but in experience. And I believe that Jesus wants us to experience him. David was saying, Lord, you're the home of my choice. I might live in a land, a country I don't understand, with people I don't understand. I might live in imperfect situations, but you're the home of my choice. I want to live with you. It's a wonderful prayer, and it's a wonderful thing that you and I can actually experience God in this way. You're my favorite company, Lord, is what he was saying. You're my favorite company, my continual home, not just in need and trouble. Oh, I'm really good at going to the Lord in trouble. Are you? No matter how quick, I can tell you that prayer comes really quick when I'm in trouble. Lord, help! That's a quick prayer. Whenever trouble happens, I'm immediately there. But when trouble isn't happening, David said, Lord, I'm here. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to be in you. Isn't the life of a believer to be lived out in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, abide in me, Jesus said, and I will abide in you. There's living in, not just with. And David had this amazing friendship and love for God. He didn't have a formal relationship. He didn't pray with these and thous. He didn't just pray prayers that he needed answer. He didn't pray on the run. He did pray on the run, but he didn't always just pray on the run. He had what I would say is a devoted heart, not just devoted time. You know how we, and I personally, always have time with God that I set apart. This is for my relationship personally. And you have to make room for that time with the Lord. But I believe that David had a heart that God actually made home in a manifest way, a continual. Of course, God dwells in us always. Jesus lives in us always. But there is this difference about having a continual, abiding relationship with him. You're my constant choice, Lord. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all who trust in him." Taste and see. Say taste and see. If I was making a lovely curry, I love curry. I love spices. I love heat. If I like, I like it hot. I usually like it hotter than most people who I go out for a meal with or cook. Sandra sometimes complains at how much chili I will put in the curry. But you know when you cook something you're really pleased with and you go, why don't you try it? Taste and see. You know, you're never going to understand what curry tastes like unless you taste curry. I can try and describe it to you, but you're never going to discover it for yourself until you taste. Which is why I think this is so important, what David says about the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste how good. Delicious. He is. Taste and see how delicious. I know that's an unusual term, but I'm saying it in a way to get you thinking differently. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When I grew up in Africa, in Zimbabwe, we used to have these trees called baobab trees. I remember them, they got big trunks and very barren branches. They look very barren. But they would have this fruit, which was like a pod about that big. And it would dry on the tree. It's one of the most unusual fruits that dries actually on the tree. And in Africa, they actually call it the tree of life, but there's only one tree of life, and that's Jesus. But that's fine, because it's actually, for them, it's a source of life, this food. And once it's dry, you can crack that pod. And I remember loving baobab. And it's got this white, it's creamy. Has anybody ever tried baobab? Ah, baobab. Okay, some of you from who've lived there will know what I mean. It's like a powder, but it's like a sweet, but it's like sour. It's like an interesting combination. But all I can say is until you taste it, you don't know. That's all I can say. You don't know what baobab tastes like until you taste it. And it's the same with the Lord. Taste. There's an open invitation. Taste and see. Taste and see. Be my habitation. This prayer is going to get this tasting into your life that's going to make you describe Jesus in such a way that you are going, he's so good. He's amazing. Delicious. I love to be in him. I love to be in his presence, with him and in him. I'm tasting and experiencing him. And it's hard to describe sometimes, isn't it, when you really taste the Lord to someone who you're trying to explain what he was like in that moment. Some of you? No, you have not tasted. I want you to taste, all of you, because Jesus' table is prepared, full of every good thing in Christ. And he says, come, feast. Come on, have a feast, because I'm that good. You need to taste and see how good I am. It's really hard to describe, but it's also interesting, isn't it, that many times when we're offered so many different alternatives, we can go to other things, not Jesus. And we're all like this. We can all go to other things we taste and see are good. Curries. I love a glass of wine, and I don't need to repent. But I do if I drink too much. Some people go to alcohol as their go-to thing. Some people go to drugs as their lifter. Jesus is the lifter of all lifters. And I'm not against medicine. I'm not against these things. I'm not against sport. But if that's where you go to get your, that's making my life work, then you're missing out on a dimension of life you will never know about, because all those things are nothing in comparison with him. I like curries. I like some TV programs. I like eating out. I love being with my friends. Oh, but I love Jesus. And that's what he's after. He's after this experiential relationship with him. And I know this is a simple word this morning, but David prays it, and I trust by the end of today you'll make these few words your prayer. Be my strong habitation to which I continually resort. Be my home. I know you've made me your home, but I want you to be mine. It's a different thing, isn't it? It's a two-way relationship. If I was to describe this home briefly, I'm not going to preach for long this morning, but I trust I'm going to preach enough for you to run home. If I was to describe this home, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. God is love. So to be in God means to be in love. The atmosphere of God is an atmosphere of love, the perfect love of God that casts out all fear. The love that hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. The love that never fails is the perfect love of God. And so God is love. When you come home and you make him your home, you make love your home. I trust you're receiving from the Lord this morning. And it's not just me, because I am. As I'm speaking, I'm going, he's love. Why wouldn't you want to run home? I want to live in you, Jesus, because you loved me and you gave yourself for me. And you've drawn me with loving kindness, everlasting love. I want to live in your atmosphere. I want to live in your atmosphere. The atmosphere of love and acceptance. In Christ, we're loved and accepted. You are perfectly loved. So when you come to Jesus, you're coming to the one who is love. This home in him is a place of rest and of peace. You know, when I go home, my work's done. Not always, mind you. But because often I work from home. There's a lot of work I do there. But when it's downtime, when I've finished, I actually change clothes. I take the working stuff off and I put the chill gear on. And I love my slippers and I love my chill wear. And I'm at home. And I don't want to see you when I'm in that condition. I'm happy the Lord sees me, but I don't need to see you. And if there's a knock on my door, I should run upstairs and change into something that looks something like I should be wearing. Chill gear. Has anybody got any chill gear like that? Okay. Well, home is a place of rest. And doesn't the Lord say in Isaiah, my people will live in peaceful dwellings and in quiet resting places. When you live in him, you live in peace. Jesus himself has become our peace. Undisturbed places. And isn't it amazing what can disturb us in life? I mean, literally, I had a day off on Friday and a phone call from someone and it disturbed me. And I don't normally pick up on my day off, but I thought, oh, better, this is unusual. And it was a disturbing phone call. And I remember just sort of feeling a little bit stressed and a bit not at ease with that conversation. And the Lord said, "And it's amazing, isn't it, what can come into your head when you're downtime It's amazing. And I just said, Lord, this is really bothering me. He said, well, why didn't you give it to me and forget it? I said, that's a good idea. Even on a day off. The Lord never has a day off. He never has a day off. He neither slumbers or sleeps, even night off. He doesn't have nights off. He works night and day. Because aren't the nights sometimes the hardest? When you're awake, but he's still with you. But we can still be with him. He can be our home in that moment and live in his peace, undisturbed place of rest. There can be a storm out there. You know, I love to be in a place where there's a storm outside, fire blazing inside, feet up on the sofa, chilling. I don't have a fire, by the way. But that's the kind of imagery I think. It can be battering out here, but in here, it's beautiful. Loving the experience. Oh, Jesus. It's a world of experience. Experience truth. You will know the truth. Personally know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Undisturbed places of peace and rest. At home, I'm at ease. So I'm not kind of like being what I should be. I'm just being me. So when I talk, I can say things that won't be misinterpreted. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Well, sometimes you do say things that can be misinterpreted at home. But I'm saying with the Lord. With the Lord, I can say things and pray imperfectly. And he still gets me. I'm at ease. I'm not kind of like putting on a show. I'm not... When I'm at home with the Lord... People can misunderstand me, but the Lord doesn't. People can have a critical view of me, but he doesn't. Praise the Lord. Because don't people sometimes just, probably not intentionally, they can put you under pressure. The Lord doesn't do that. He inspires. He leads. But he doesn't put you under pressure. So being at home with Jesus, I can be me. And he can lovingly, like a father, at home with his children. That's how we just see God, isn't it? He is a father to his children. We're his children. Sons of God through faith in Jesus. When we're at home with him, he might be the judge of all the world. But you and I can call him Abba. We know who he is. We have two things. We have a reverence for him as our heavenly father. So we maintain a reverence, but he's also Abba, which is a childlike expression of dad, but it's with reverence even in the original Hebrew. And I'm at ease with him. And even if he's correcting me, somehow he's got a way of doing it that makes me happy. Has anybody ever been happy that the Lord corrected them? See, he's not harsh. He's gentle. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll find rest. And so Jesus is this. To live in him means to live at ease. I'm also someone who's got a lot of goals in God. I've got a lot of vision. I can talk all day about vision. But you know, with that doesn't come a pressure when I'm with him. I just know he's going to do it. I just trust he's going to do it. I'm at ease. I'm not praying like this at home. Oh, God! I'm saying, thank you, Father. I know you love me. I know you said it. I'm going to just trust you. I trust you, you're going to do it. At home means you are safe. In Christ, we're safe. It's like that strong fortress that is impenetrable. The enemy cannot see you, let alone get in. I mean, if you lived in a castle or a fortress, can't see you. You see the walls, don't you? So the enemy can't even see you or get in when you live in your strong habitation. Jesus is a strong fortress. He is a rock, a powerful, almighty God. And when you're living in him, you're surrounded by him. You're protected. The enemy cannot sneak one in. Safe place. He is my safe place. In his house, I'm nearly finished. That's amazing. In his house, there is an abundance. There is an abundance in him. I was overjoyed when one of the members of the church here this morning, not here this morning, well, they are somewhere in the building, shared that they'd had a vision. And they didn't know what I was preaching on. And they said, I had this vision. And I saw these walls, these strong stone walls and cement. So I just knew that the enemy couldn't get in. And I also saw a big, big, big cupboard. And in this cupboard were large jars full of joy, peace, power, patience, kindness. Whatever I needed was in this big storeroom, this big cupboard. And I said, that's amazing. It's what I'm preaching on Sunday. And in God's house, it's like imagine going into a store that is so full of good things that you're like, I'm never going to be able to eat all of this. And the thing about the Lord is, if you have a few bits out of it, it just keeps filling up. So it doesn't matter how much you take out, it just keeps coming back. He doesn't ever run out. You can always go into his store, you can go into mine and you can see what I left out or what I've already eaten. But with God's, you go back and you're like, it's full again. Be filled with all the fullness of God. Be filled. I love the story of the prodigal son. Really, I think it's more about the father. I think it's more a story about a father with two sons, which Jesus starts the parable with. In Luke 15, the father had two sons, and the prodigal, he left the house. He left his dad, and he said, give me my inheritance, and off he went, and he spent it on wild living, and he ended up working for a guy with pigs, and he ended up in a pig pen, and he ended up eating what the pigs were eating. To a Jew, it couldn't, I'm telling you, it couldn't have got worse. Pigs, you can't get worse for a Jew. So he said, talk about, this isn't good, it's really not good. And I can't imagine his clothes, what he smelled like. I can't imagine his state. And he decides, he comes to his senses in this, and I think most of us would. It's a good moment to get to your senses and come to a place where you go, ah, hang on. I do remember what my father's house was like. I wonder, and in his heart he was, I wonder if he'll get me back, if he'll take me back. So he goes back to the father. And the father sees him from a distance, and you know what happened is the father ran to this boy, his son that he'd lost, that had departed from him. I reckon if he could sprint, he sprinted. He saw him and ran. And the prodigal said to the father, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father says, and I love these words, kill the fatted calf. We're having a party. My son's back. And he said, not only that, give him a new robe. new clothes. In other words, fully restored to righteous. Fully restored, forgiven, restored. When we come back to Jesus, we are fully clothed again. Amen. Fully restored. Then the ring on his finger, which means the rights of sonship. He's my boy. You're not going to come and serve. You're going to be a son in the house. So he gets the full restoration and he has a party. Thrown in his honor. Now, if I was the prodigal, I'd be like, I don't think I really deserve all of this. And the older brother really did think that. But the younger brother think, I don't really deserve all of this. But you know what I love about the prodigal? He didn't stand outside with a Uriah Heep kind of, I'm not worthy. I'm so not worthy. You don't know how much I messed up. He went, I don't deserve it. But that's why it's grace. What's grace? God giving everything to those who don't deserve it. And so what did he do? Party's in there. For me, I'm going. What happened to the older brother? It was incredible. He was cheesed off, basically, yes. But the older brother stayed outside, looking in. Heard that the prodigal had come home and said, jealousy, all kinds of bad things in his heart, that the father should just accept back someone who was so bad. None of us have ever felt that about anyone, have we? Amazing, the heart of mercy, the heart of God. This is that no wonder David wanted to make him his home. I want to live there. I want to live with this one. This is the one I want to be with. No wonder. When you mess up, it's like, when you say sorry, he goes, fully restored, let's have a party, let's feast. Some of you look like you could do with a bit of a feast on Jesus. And the older brother comes back and he gets mad. And he actually takes it out on the dad, which often kids do, don't they? The parent gets the trouble. It's the same with pastors. Take it out on the pastor. Sure that they're the problem. Any kind of person in authority usually gets. Some of you have never experienced that from your children, but I'm sure some of you have. And the older brother comes back and he says, you shouldn't. I've worked for you. I've been here all the time. I've served you. You didn't throw a party for me to celebrate with my friends. And this is what you do for someone who did that. With your inheritance, and now he comes back and he's really enjoying life again with you. And you know, I love the father's heart for both sons. Oh. His heart for both sons, for every son here today, his heart. Whether you're like the prodigal or like the older, his heart for the older brother was this. He said, son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Listen to those words. Son, you're always here. Everything I have, this is God talking. We're heirs in Christ. We've a rich inheritance. Hello, anybody awake here today? Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is. But matey wasn't enjoying it. He wasn't enjoying being a Christian. He was sourpuss. He just worked. Did stuff. But he didn't enjoy God. He didn't taste and see. He didn't go in to the party that the Lord had always prepared for all of his people. Enjoy what I've done, who I am. Come and feast on the abundance of his house. And the trouble is with all of us is that we can veer between the two sometimes. We can get a bit prodigal and we can get a little bit older brother. Ultimately, the Father stands and he offers each one of us today Come on. Everything I have is yours. Come, eat, drink, receive, enjoy all that storehouse of abundance that I have provided. We all get to choose which kind of person we are, what kind of son we are. Tell somebody next to you, I get to choose. Because we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. But we're not all Davids. We're not all those going in and feasting. And David says, I want you to be my strong habitation to which I continually resort. In other words, not just in the bad times, but in the good. At all times, Lord, I've got access to you. I can come into that treasure house, which is Christ. He himself is my life. Didn't Paul say, the life I live by faith. And it's his life, Christ in me. I can live in him, and he does live in me. Fullness of life forevermore. David said, you're my fountain of living water. Everything about you is life. Some of you have been through a very hard time. Some of you are currently going through a hard time. But the Father stands here this morning, I believe, and he offers you a home. A home, a place in him where you will find peace, rest, comfort, understanding, healing, restoration, abundance, protection, provision, power, wisdom, knowledge. All we need is in him. So David said, wherever I'm living, in a cave or in a palace, I want to live in you. Doesn't matter what circumstances are going on in my life, I want to live in you. Because he knew that that time, that place in Jesus would sustain and strengthen. You know, times in life where we lose vision. And God wants each one of us to be full of vision, heavenly vision, not not our own, but his. But his vision actually lights your life up. People without the vision that Jesus has for them live in darkness. But Jesus wants to light us up with his vision. But you know, home is a place of restored vision. With Jesus, he restores. How blessed are we that he can be our personal home? He is living in us. What will you choose? To live in him? To pray? To desire this relationship with him? Or take refuge, find your home in other things or people? Even work can be your habitation and not God. We live in a day where work can take over and become the focus of life, where Jesus is the life. And that is it's a slave driver work if it masters you. But when Jesus is your master, he's a good shepherd. And he leads and feeds. It's not, he honors work. We uphold a working life. but not at the expense of living in Jesus and living for him. But this morning, I trust that you hear the Father's heart for you. Maybe this morning there are prodigals in this room who have wasted your lives on the wrong thing, gone away from the Father. There may be the kind of older brother syndrome where you're here but not really here with God, not really enjoying Jesus, and assessing what everybody else is doing and not really living it yourself. Isn't that dangerous? Shall we stand? We're going to respond to the Lord this morning.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.